game. Crank them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
No more bubble talk for Bubba. He's living in a brick house now as the number of playoff spots for guys with points goes down to just three. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Zach Storniolo from NASCAR.com and Dustin Albino from J-Ski.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Zach and Dustin here. We've got a lot to talk about this week. And Bubba finally comes off the bubble, and he did it in impressive fashion. I thought it was funny in his post-race press conference. Zach, he goes, all right, where's the goalpost now? You want a rain shortened race? And oh, yeah, you want to race in a car that somebody else already won in that year. So not really that impressive. He went out and won this thing.
He earned every bit of this one. At first he was cruising away with it on a green flag run. Then caution comes out. Then he's faced an overtime restarts twice with the guy associated with Indianapolis Motor Speedway right now, Kyle Larson. And beat him twice. He didn't falter one time. There's no question to me. This was easily Bubba Wallace's best performance, best weekend execution. He was fast in practice, qualified second. He was up there all race. He earned every bit of this Brickyard 400 victory.
Years ago, Dustin, Jimmy Johnson, when we first went to the double file restart, I said, I assume that you all would take the inside on restarts. And he goes, well, you better make darn sure you're going to get past that guy between one and two, because if you don't, he's going to pinch you down going through turn two and he's going to take off on you. So you better be pretty confident if you're taking that inside. And Bubba took the inside both times, Dustin, and was able to get past Kyle Larson and take off. So I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, in the Xfinity race, we saw the opposite. And I'm sure we'll hit on that later. But Bubba, yeah, amazing run. Zach hit on it perfectly. It was just a well-executed weekend throughout. Qualify up front, it's a place where clean air matters a lot. And a lot of the guys that qualified up front stayed up front, and Bubba was one of them. So he executed everything perfectly. Mother Nature tried taking that one away from him, but he said, not today.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I was actually covering Bubba's pit, and I was listening to him as he crossed the finish line. And a lot of times, guys, you'll hear just guys say, "Woo!" You know, start screaming. Bubba just started laughing, and I had a chance to ask him afterward. I said, "What was that laugh? I mean, was it excitement? Was it relief?" And here was his answer:
"Just relief. We did it. We finally did it. That's the first thing my wife told me. We did it. So, God, so cool. To be the best, you got to beat the best. So, appreciate everybody all day running me clean, running me hard, and making me earn it."
Yeah, and I think he was perfectly honest there, right? Like, it said it from the heart. It was relief. He's been under a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny.
You go 100 races without a NASCAR Cup Series win at this level for that team with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin as your co-owners. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And he said it. He talked about this in his post-race press conference as well, that, you know, this is year after year after year of finding himself on that playoff bubble and in that discussion. Meanwhile, last year, Tyler Reddick, his teammate, goes on and wins the regular season championship. It's a really different tale of the tape. And he's felt every bit of that. But we've also seen a different Bubba Wallace this year, really throughout. He's more calm. As Denny Hamlin said, his valleys aren't nearly as low as they once were. And I asked him about this during the press conference as well. You know, there was a moment last year where he was penalized after the Chicago street race, and he was fined $50,000 for door slamming Alex Bowman. And as frustrated as he was originally, he then came to Pocono one week later and said that was probably the best thing to happen to him, because it gave him that perspective. He finally took a step back and had that really good and meaningful conversation with Kevin Harvick that really seemed to change his perspective on a lot of things. All of that is to say, we've seen a different Bubba Wallace this year, and obviously he's a father now as well, and I feel like that maturity has helped keep his mind from getting too far down in the pits. And even though that self-doubt did creep back up, he said, in those last 20 laps, and he had to remind himself, he had to stave off the mental thoughts of I can't do this. He overcame that this time, and I don't know that the Bubba Wallace of a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago does the same thing.
Well, and this is a guy that, hey, you talk about the Chicago street race last year, Dustin, Chicago street race this year, where he got in a battle with, probably an unnecessary battle with Alex Bowman, cost himself a bunch of points, and put himself smack dab on the bubble when he really didn't need to be, you know, and had to climb and had to face the criticism from that.
Absolutely. In a way like this, you could say this win was kind of out of nowhere. But if you look at the season in totality, like the 23 car has been fast. 23-11 has been fast. It's just they haven't had the finishes. Leading into Indy over the last 11 races, Bubba had 7 finishes outside the top 20. So that's a pretty big sample size. You're looking at half the schedule so far this year. And so for Bubba, you know, to get out front, execute the full day. And when the caution comes out late, you're thinking like, this is Kyle Larson. He's chipping away as it is. Like, this is one of the best drivers in the world, that he's just going to pass him on the restart. But Bubba's a really easy, you know, he's one of the best restarters in the game. So put two full ones together, was questionable on fuel, and made it to the finish.
I did kind of find it funny this week to hear some of the fans say that NASCAR set it up for Bubba to be able to win this thing. And okay, I know you work for NASCAR.com, but this is the company that's suing NASCAR right now. I'm going, wait a minute. That doesn't add up somehow that NASCAR would set it up for Bubba to win this thing.
There are no conspiracy theories. There is nothing here outside of Bubba Wallace going out and earning that win. People forget Bubba Wallace has been good on the Indianapolis Oval his entire career. If you go back to when he was driving the 43 car for Richard Petty Motorsports, he finished in the top 10 both of those times, or two of the three times. His only finish outside the top 10 in 5 starts there was a crash in 2018 where he finished 38th. Since then, 2019, he finishes third. 2020, he finishes ninth. Last year, he finished fifth. This year, he wins the race. To me, I actually included him in our Sunday preview on NASCAR.com, what to watch, as one of our drivers to watch because of that. Yes, he hasn't been in the mix. He hasn't been leading a whole lot of laps. He's not one of those guys that you expect to go out there and win the race the way that he did. But this is a place, for whatever reason, he has always found success. He found it in a big way on Sunday afternoon.
Well, and you look down the list of winners at the Brickyard, and there aren't many flukes. There are a couple of guys that have won it on gas mileage, Dustin, but by and large, it is the best of the best.
It is. The elite step up in Indianapolis, that place just brings it out of you. It's either a Gibbs car, although really, you know, Toyota's only had 2 wins before Bubba, and that was in the mid-teens with Kyle Busch. But Hendrick Motorsports, they all show up, right? And so for Bubba to get a win here, he puts his name in history book. Zach can on it perfectly, because his 4 top 10s now is the longest active top 10 streak at Indianapolis. So guy's really good there.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the race at the Oval and how good it is to have NASCAR, my opinion, how good it is to have NASCAR back on the Oval, and also what Bubba's win does to the Cup bubble. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Dustin Albino from JSKI.com, also does some stuff for NASCAR.com, and from NASCAR.com, we've got Zach Sterniolo as well. All right, with Bubba's win, that means the cut line moved. Of course, Bubba actually, with that win, moves inside the top 16 and actually moved inside the cut line anyway. But, of course, the win means that we now have 13 winners this year. The three guys that are inside the cut line now, Tyler Reddick, still in pretty good shape. He's sixth overall on the points. Alex Bowman now 63 points to the good. Chris Buescher is the guy on the cut line at plus 42. Ryan Preece now minus 42. Kyle Busch is minus 81. Ty Gibbs minus 95 with $1 million in his back pocket. But, I mean, this is the thing. And it's funny. You've been talking to these guys for weeks, Dustin. You talk to the Bowmans. You talk to the Buschers. And they've all been saying, you know what? We're not worried about running for points and worried about stage points and stuff like that. We got to be thinking about wins, understanding exactly what happened last week can happen once, twice, and with Daytona looming as the last race in the regular season, could happen multiple times here.
Yeah, unfortunately for Chris Buescher, he's got to be like living deja vu right now because of last year and how close he was multiple times last year of getting a win, ultimately didn't get a win and missed the playoffs. And he said from day one this year at Daytona 500 Media Day, we have to win. We have to win early. And while they've been good, they haven't won. and none of RFK has. So, I mean, there's a real possibility now that, you know, they missed the playoffs entirely. You've got to bet on a new winner at Daytona, whether that's a Buescher, you know, because he's won there in the past. He's a really good super speedway racer. Or a Preece who's run, you know, finished second, crossed the line second at Talladega before he was disqualified. So, and then Brad's also a really good super speedway racer. So, yeah, it'll be interesting because while we do have a points battle between the two, it's you know, there's a pretty big gap now.
I mean, you look at the races that we have left, and I'm sure that despite the fact that Shane Van Gisbergen has already got three wins, most of the guys hanging around that bubble have got to be going, please, win Watkins Glen 2. Go ahead. Win Watkins Glen. Take a fourth.
Unless your name is Chris Buescher, because Buescher is the one who beat Shane Van Gisbergen in playoffs at Watkins Glen a year ago.
That's true.
You know, there's a real chance that Buescher can still win his way in here, whether it's Watkins Glen, whether it's Daytona. The window is open, but it's closing in a hurry, and he's only 42 points now ahead of his teammate Ryan Preece, who you got a feel for Preece because RFK walks out of Indianapolis with two top five finishes. He gets fourth. That's a great day on the surface, right? Then you look at who won the race, and it's the guy that you've been chasing on the bubble the whole time anyway. It's just absolutely brutal break for Ryan Preece, who really did. I mean, that 60 team has done a great job all year of maximizing its performance, maximizing its speed, and maximizing its results. Did so again in a huge way on Sunday afternoon. But the one guy that you don't want to, at least one of the many guys you don't want to see win the race, is celebrating in victory lane and kissing the bricks. It's a really unfortunate situation for Preece, who finds himself 42 points out now. And really, I would say, looking at it, he's about the only guy who's really realistically still within that striking range to make it on points, who is currently outside the bubble. He's 42 out. The next guy back is Kyle Busch in 18th, who is 81 beneath the elimination line.
I mean, you take a look at this and you start thinking about the fact that, all right, we've got four races left the regular season. Iowa this week, then the Glen, Richmond, and then Daytona. Realistically, how many new winners do you think we could have, Dustin?
Yeah, I could see two. And again, that could come from a guy like a Bowman or a Buescher, because especially Bowman. Bowman's been running up a lot at the front a lot lately, and Buescher too. Buescher's got a lot of speed, and he's won at three of the four race tracks that are coming up. So I think you get two. I think SVG probably wins the Glen, but you know, I don't say that with confidence, even though he's won the last three road courses. And then you got to bet on it for Daytona that there's going to be a new winner. We've seen multiple times there be a walk-off win there, whether it's Austin Dillon or Harrison Burton. You got to bank on a new winner there. So, and that could really open things up. So yeah, Zach's right. I think only Priest can get in on points. Everyone else got to chase the win.
How many more you think? How many more new winners? How many? Let's put it this way. How many guys you think get in on points?
You could convince me that none do at this point, which is a crazy thing to consider, especially considering, you know, I think back to 2022 and only one person got in on points, and that was Blaney bumping Truex at Daytona. And I don't think we thought that we'd ever see anything like that again. We kind of like, okay, this is the anomaly, the first year with the next gen. I mean, you could convince me that we have four new winners between Iowa, the Glen, Richmond, and Daytona, because Ryan Preece is still looking for his first win. He's great on the short tracks. Iowa sets up really well for that. Watkins Glen. Michael McDowell has been really good on the road courses this season. If he puts together another solid race, I could see him winning the Glen. Richmond, we saw Austin Dillon do it last year. Daytona's Daytona. Will we get four new winners? Probably not, but it wouldn't shock me at this point.
All right. Well, what did you guys think of the race in general? I mean, over the years, the Brickyard has gotten a lot of bad reviews from fans. Not good racing, not very entertaining. That's why we tried the road course. To me, Dustin, if you're going to Indianapolis, you go to run the oval. That's the famous road. That's the famous course. You don't go to Indianapolis. If you want to go run the road course, you run a second race there. That's my opinion. And I thought the show was not, I thought it was a pretty decent show this time.
Absolutely. I've seen worse Indy races for sure. And strategy too, like with the next gen car, obviously it's very prominent. It was very similar to like Pocono, where, you know, you had Chase Briscoe there on the edge of making it on fuel. Pocono's another big track that strategy is very important at. So with Indy, yeah, it was a normal Indy race to me. And, you know, if you look at other series of races like IndyCar, like they've had, I don't know how to phrase this. They've put better shows on, I guess, as far as like passing in the past. And this year, the Indy 500 was kind of strategy filled too and track position filled. So, you know, it's really just an Indy specific thing.
I would agree. I mean, to me, Indianapolis, the Brickyard 400 is special because it's the oval at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There's no other track as old or as storied or as historic as this track is, not in America. There's just straight up not. The fact that NASCAR gets to race on this oval, it's a privilege for the sport. And we talked about it earlier. Bubba Wallace etched his name in history. It's historic for a reason. Legends win at Indianapolis. It tests driver ability. It tests engine, the engine crews. It tests the aero teams. That's why for so many years, Hendrick Motorsports dominated this race. It's why when Ray Evernham and Bill Elliott won this race in 2002, that was a big deal. You know, the teams with great engine programs usually succeed at Indianapolis. And I think everything gets tested at this place. I know we didn't see a green flag pass for the lead, but you saw Denny worked his way through the field quite a bit there to start this race. You can still do things to work your way through the field. The strategy is a huge part of it. You saw what it meant for 2311 and Bubba Wallace and that entire group, what it meant to them to be on that front straightaway kissing those bricks. It's a big deal. We need to be racing on the oval.
Still one of the crown jewels. Our Pit Reporter's question this week is, how many do you think will make the playoffs on points? And your choices are 0, 1, 2, or 3. And 3 is, of course, the maximum because that's where we're at right now. Last week we asked you, do you like San Diego as the site for NASCAR's return to Southern California? And we got a 78% yes.
Love that.
And if you do the math, that means 22% no.
There it is.
Did it for you real fast. All right, when we come back, a dominator in the Xfinity Series and a huge penalty. Stay with us.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs.
In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs. And unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
They established the Hall of Fame. First two people that get in, besides your dad, is Bill France Sr. and yep. Bill Jr. Your time behind the wheel overlapped with Bill Jr., didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I was called to the truck many times while Bill Jr. was in there. But you know what? What I remember about Bill Jr. as much as anything was being a kid and him sitting and talking to my dad or talking to my granddad. And Bill Sr. would be in some of those conversations, but you'd sit down at the racetrack and they would talk about where the sport was and where the sport was going. Bill was never satisfied with where the sport was. And that is the one thing that I came to admire about him. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. But, you know, I'll never forget, we were doing some stuff and I was driving for Felix and I was called to the truck and I was reminded gently by Bill France Jr. that this was his sport. And if I would like to participate in his sport, that I needed to kind of change my ways. And I changed my ways so that I could participate in his sport.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com and Dustin Albino from JSki.com, I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right. There's been a lot of speculation what was going to happen with Austin Hill after he allegedly purposefully wrecked Eric Almirola during the Xfinity race on Saturday, and NASCAR has come down. They held him five laps during the course of the event. NASCAR has deemed that he did try to wreck him on purpose, or did wreck him on purpose, and so NASCAR has suspended Austin Hill for the Iowa race. And part of that means he has to apply for a waiver to justify missing the race. That's part of this new waiver system. He has to now ask for a waiver because he's going to miss a race and still intends to compete for the championship in the Xfinity Series. But part of the condition of that, Zach, is he's going to lose all the playoff points he's accumulated this year, and he's got three wins to his credit. So this is very costly. There's no points fine to go with this. There's no penalty. There's no monetary fine to go with this. But the points fine is he's losing, what, 21 playoff points by missing this race, by being suspended for this race at Iowa this week.
It's a huge hit. There's no way around that. I mean, that's unfortunately part of what happens when you're suspended for an on-track incident now. That was a rule that was amended throughout the course of the offseason because there was conversation about whether if you're going to be suspended, should there be a heavier price to pay for the action that you allegedly were accused of. And so we saw the crash. It didn't look good live. It kind of looked worse in replay, if we're honest. And to me, this was, I don't know that the officiating crew had any other option than to suspend Hill for the one race. The gloves went left at that point. And
he was wearing white gloves, which doesn't make it. It doesn't help.
Didn't help his alibi at all. I don't know how much of this factored into the decision, but certainly Eric Almirola hitting a wall that wasn't protected by safer barrier at a track where we saw speeds regularly over 180 miles an hour, it's just a bad deal all around. So yes, 21 playoff points off the docket for Austin Hill, assuming he gets the waiver to remain playoff eligible this year. You look ahead to the playoffs in the Xfinity Series. they will start at Bristol Motor Speedway. The first round for the Xfinity Series is going to be Bristol, Kansas, and Charlotte Motor Speedway, Roval. None of those three tracks are really great for Austin Hill, so that 21-point hit can really make a difference in whether he makes a run for this championship this year or not.
Yeah, and he's a guy, when you look at him, Dustin, and think about, all right, you know, 21 playoff points plus his position in the standings, he was looking to come in as maybe the third seed, fourth seed, somewhere along there. And this is going to probably drop him to, you know, he's going to be at the bottom of the seedings. And to Zach's point, if he started three tracks that he's not, that are not his ideal tracks, this could be one round and done.
Yeah, is the short answer, because he, you know, he'll tell you straight up, Bristol's probably his worst track on the circuit. He's DNF'd there a couple of times. Like that's not optimal. That's not an optimal three sets of tracks. He's a really good road course racer, and you can make up a lot of points there. I say that, but a lot of the playoff guys are gonna be on the same strategy. So really, you're not gonna make up a ton of points. And then Kansas is also a track where not ideal. So yeah, that's a big hit. Whole situation just disappointing, I think. You know, he's a guy who races really hard. He's a veteran in the series now. It's his fourth year racing another veteran of NASCAR who's been around for the last two decades. Just very disappointing overall. And yeah, the white gloves don't lie. The Xfinity cars don't have a steering sensor, but they do have some SMT data. So, you know, I'm sure all that was looked at, and it was pretty evident what the result was there.
Do you think the penalty is justified when you really look at it, Zach?
I think so. I really do, because to me it's reminiscent of when Chase turned Denny Hamlin during the Coke 600 a couple of years ago. Denny kind of, in that instance, Denny ended up running Chase into the wall a little bit. Chase didn't like that, retaliated, turned left, and Denny hit pretty much head on into a 90-degree corner as well. It's pretty similar, and Chase was suspended as a result of that. To me, this is consistent. I know Richard Childress may not necessarily agree. He told me, Dustin Long and Jordan Bianchi on Saturday afternoon, that he was he didn't believe that Austin should be suspended, because Austin Cindric wasn't suspended for turning Ty Dillon on the front stretch at COTA earlier this year. To me, it's apples and oranges. Certainly it wasn't a good look when Austin Cindric did it either, but it was a slower speed. Ty didn't really impact anything hard at that point, and to be fair, Cindric was penalized from that 50 points, and I believe also docked or fined $50,000 as a result of that as well. So there was a penalty, it wasn't a suspension. I understand why there would be a little bit of frustration from that camp, but to me the punishment fits the crime.
Well, and I'll ask kind of a two-part question, Dustin, and kind of it might be a three-part question. Do you feel like the penalty is justified? Austin Hill is something of a repeat offender, isn't he? And the third part is, how much, for those that didn't hear his radio communication after he was held five laps, we could not play it on the air. It went on for quite some time, and you might hear about 10 seconds of it if we could have played it on the air, and it was all directed at NASCAR, and I'm sure that doesn't help his case when NASCAR sits down and listens to that, and they're trying to decide whether or not to penalize him.
Yes, yes, and yes. That's the three answers. but truly, like, Austin, you know, he's a very competitive guy. He's in a really good car in the Xfinity Series in the 21. He's made a name for himself, no pun intended, with the Xfinity Series. But yes, repeat offender, sure. I mean, you look at some of the incidents that have happened in Martinsville, like whether it was him and a teammate with Sheldon Creed a couple years back, or even this year on the final lap at that chaotic Martinsville race in the spring where, you know, Sammy Smith dumped Taylor Gray. Well, here comes Austin Hill. He's the victor in it all, but he's also moving people out of the way and wrestling everyone around. So, not a great track record, but at the same time, like, Austin's a really good race car driver. He's grown a lot with that team and that car. New crew chief this year. They're off strategy compared to last year's with how they approach the races. So, that's another thing too. Like, he doesn't have experience with the crew chief Chad Haney this year in a playoffs format like this. So this is going to be it could be an early exit, or maybe he'll be feared and he'll make another Final Four run.
Hey, when we come back, a generational talent is emerging. Are we seeing it before our very eyes? Stay with us.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars. And I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Dustin Albino from Jayski and Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com, I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Right now in the Xfinity Series, if you haven't been paying attention, there's a guy that has 5 wins, 3 in a row. In the last 9 races, he has not finished worse than 5th. And oh, by the way, a week ago, he turned 19. And this year, he is driving for Junior Motorsports, and this is what Dale Earnhardt Jr. had to tell me about it the other day.
It's hard not to imagine you're overstating the obvious, but he's something special. You know, you could be really watching this, the beginning of a career that mirrors the Gordons and Johnsons of the past several decades. So he's got a great head on his shoulders, very focused and very driven, really mature. Plus, he's just damn fast. He's a dangerous game right now, man. I'm glad he's driving for us. Good Lord.
His name is Connor Zilich. He's driving for Junior this year, but next year, we all fully expect he'll be driving for Trackhouse. He is under contract with Trackhouse Racing, loaned out to Junior Motorsports this year, Dustin. And, we fully expect he's going to be in that 99 car next year. And I don't think he needs another year in Xfinity, do you?
Yeah, no, I don't. That's about all the praise that a guy can give a driver. Anyone can give a driver. And it coming from Dale Jr., like, for Connor, it's so special, I'm sure. Car owner, then also Dale's status in the sport. But Connor, yeah, I mean, the hype was real coming into the year, even going into last year and into his debut at the Xfinity Series at Watkins Glen in September. And he lived up to it there. He was 0.3 of a second faster than the field in practice, and then came from the back in that race and won. And it hasn't stopped. So, what we're seeing is pretty incredible this year with him and the 88 team, Marty Lindley. Got Dale Jr. win as a crew chief, obviously, at Pocono. So 4 wins in the last 6 weeks, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, let's see. He beat SVG at Sonoma. When he won at Pocono, they said, oh, well, yeah, fine. No, yeah, okay, you can win in an oval. because he'd only won at road courses before that. You can't win it, but you've only won it over with three turns. So he went and won at Dover, so he won it one with four turns, and now he wins at Indy too, passing Kyle Larson with two laps to go. And you and I were talking during the break, Zach. He is well-spoken.
Yep.
He's respectful. And I had a chance to talk to Marty Lindley on Saturday about him, and he goes, and he never puts blame on anybody. He never comes out and says, passes blame. I mean, I can't believe the kid's only 19.
Me neither. It is really outstanding what he does. And it's week after week. The fact that he has maintained this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's really this sense of self and sense of presence while also executing at such a supremely high level. He's been doing it for years already through Trans Am stuff on his way up to where he is today. But at some point, sometimes you expect the mistakes to just step in because he's so young, right? And we've certainly seen that come into play a couple of times where he's had to start in a backup car or things along those lines because he overstepped it in practice or overstepped it in qualifying and gets involved with some other stuff. Over these last 9 weeks, he is so far cleaned that up. For Dale Earnhardt Jr. to give you that kind of prize, do you realize how special you have to be to get that kind of stuff from the son of a 7-time champion in the sport who has seen, I mean, quite literally all the greats come through stock car racing, to get that kind of praise, and rightfully so, from his car owner? That's a special thing for a guy like Connor Zilish, who, by the way, is very much in the thick of things for the regular season championship now. He's only 21 points behind teammate Justin Allgaier for this regular season championship. There's a real chance. Don't forget, he missed a race at Texas Motor Speedway because he was injured. Kyle Larson, by the way, went ahead and won that race in that 88 car. Zilich spotting the field of race is only 21 points out of the hunt for the regular season championship now.
I mean, it is pretty amazing. I was talking to Marty Lindley, as I said earlier, and, you know, Zilich led practice, Dustin, at Indy, and yet Marty said he came in afterwards and he's sitting there looking at all the data and going over everything, trying to find out where he'd made mistakes and where he could have been better. He goes, he doesn't rest on anything. He's constantly looking to be better. Yeah, he was seventh in qualifying, so clearly he erred somewhere along the line, but he certainly made up for it once the race started. I mean, it's hard to not heap praise on what we're watching here. Yes, he's in good equipment. There's no doubt about that. Junior Motorsports has been dominating the Xfinity Series this year, clearly. But nobody else is putting up the kind of numbers he is.
They're not. The only comparable driver would be Allgaier, but a lot of wins, including Saturday, have slipped away for whatever reason. And you look at that, now Junior Motorsports has 12 victories. They won their 100th victory over the weekend with Connor. And yeah, what we're seeing, like, I feel like we always want to compare a driver to another driver from maybe another era or even, you know, the last generation. So like for Connor, like the easy comparison, because he's so young, is someone like a Kyle Larson, obviously, or even a Joey Logano. But it's so, I feel like, hard to compare nowadays because there's so much data. It's very analytic driven and he's just excelling at every front, no matter what series he's in. He's speeding up through the ranks, and hypothetically, if he's in a cup car next year, like we all think he will be, you know, there might be some mistakes along the way, but why hold him down when he's clearly a cup driver?
Dustin just mentioned it, and I was going to bring it up. Yeah, Junior Motorsports now 100 wins in the Xfinity Series. And Junior takes a lot of pride, like Kyle Busch used to do when he had his Xfinity Series teams, being able to take young talent, mold that talent, and give them opportunities. And that's really what the basis of was when he formed Junior Motorsports. And I know Dale was proud as could be when, you know, I was walking up pit road with him after that, and he saw Sam Mayer, who would have been a driver at Junior Motorsports. He goes, let me go see this old race car driver over here, because he wanted a Contrale. He'd been a part of that 100 wins too.
That's right. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Dale Earnhardt Jr. is he doesn't forget who has helped him along the way. Sam Mayer is one of those guys, which, by the way, shout out to Sam Mayer, because looking at the Xfinity Series points, he's the guy who's sitting third in points, also within striking distance of the regular season championship, 48 points out. All that said, JRM hitting that century mark is really an incredible thing when you think about all the different drivers that they've had in their equipment, some of those struggles that they had when they first opened that program. But now, I mean, you kind of expect them to go out and win kind of every race on the schedule at this point. They're pretty much in the process of doing that, is what it feels like. It is really easy, I think, to overlook and get accustomed to, sure, the 7, the 88, one of them is going to find their way to victory lane at some point. You kind of just take it for what it's worth, right? It is incredibly difficult to do what they're doing on a weekly basis. Different track types, different drivers, different skill sets. For Connor, a different crew chief at one point, and still able to come out on top week after week, year after year now at this point, this all coming off of a championship run last year for Justin Allgaier. I don't think it can be overstated how special it is what JRM is doing right now, but also just how difficult it is what they're achieving.
Yeah, your thoughts on Junior's 100th win for Junior Motorsports, Dustin?
Yeah, Zach could have, you know, everything that needs to be talked about, but how many different drivers have gone through there and how many guys Dale's helped to get off the ground, whether it's someone like a Brad Keselowski back in the day or Sam Mayer recently or Connor or whoever, you know, or a place where drivers can come back, like an Allgaier or Elliott Sadler,
Regan and have Smith great success. Too. Yeah.
Regan Smith. Yeah. Great success with the team, make championship runs last year with Allgaier, and be in the mix with both Regan and Elliott in the past. So, just a good atmosphere with that team. And Dale's, you know, obviously a great car owner. And yeah, only the fourth team to get to 100. So, pretty impressive.
I know that a lot of fans would like to see them put a cup car out there permanently. He hasn't made that many. They put that one out there for the Daytona 500 this year. He hadn't done that yet. And, you know, I don't know. First of all, it's a monstrous financial commitment. If you're going to do it, you need to buy a charter to do it, I think.
I would agree.
And it's a huge, huge financial investment. And he has really established something. He's got a niche in the Xfinity series. And it's, you know, it kind of started as that second chance.
Yep, Chance 2, that's
Chance
right.
Chance 2 Motorsports, where, you know, as we talked about at the top of this, where he wanted to give opportunities to young drivers or other drivers in other series trying to make it. And he's found that niche, and he's doing that now still.
Martin Truex Jr. had a Hall of Fame career, in large part thanks to the chance that Dale Jr. took on him. Won 2 Busch Series championships back in 04 and 05 and propelled his way to DEI, and you know, 20 years later, here we are talking about Truex as a no doubt Hall of Famer at some point. It's really amazing what that program has evolved into, and certainly they've got, you know, some of the other names we didn't talk about: Casey Kane, Mark Martin, Jamie McMurray helped get that program off the ground as well. Robbie Gordon, I think, back in the day. You know, there are a lot of names who helped bring that program to life. And like I said earlier, Dale hasn't forgotten a single one of them. And it's really impressive to see that they are able to sustain that year after year.
Now ahead, Iowa, a second time for the Cup Series. We'll see what these guys think we're going to see. Stay with us.
I have a friend, about 50, had a bad accident and couldn't go back to work. If you're between the ages of 49 and 63 and can't go back to your job because of a physical or mental disability, Social Security could pay you as much as $3,800 a month. If you or a family member is unable to work because of a disability, call the Social Security Disability Helpline. Our team will give you a free case review and explain to you how much money you're entitled to, and you won't pay anything unless we get you benefits. See if you or a family member is entitled to close to $45,000 a year in Social Security disability funds. Remember, this is not something for people over the age of 65. If you're under 65 and can't work, call now.
800-731-1582. 800-731-1582. That's 800-731-1582.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now, and you can drive off a winner. Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com is here. Also, Dustin Albino from JSki.com and also NASCAR.com is here as well. And we're getting ready to go to Iowa this week. Before we go to Iowa, just your thoughts real quick. We didn't know for sure when this show was recorded last week. We knew it was happening, but it hadn't officially been announced yet. The race in San Diego next year. Just a quick thoughts on that, Zach.
I am thrilled for that whole event. For us to be doing it late June, close to the 4th of July, on a naval base is really just an incredible idea. The fact that it's actually becoming reality is almost hard to fathom, but I'm so excited to see that place come to life. Coronado, San Diego in general is just an absolutely beautiful city, premium city. NASCAR being back in Southern California is a huge deal. I cannot wait for that race weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff, and especially the fact that we get all three National Series out there with the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and Cup Series. It's going to be a really, really fun weekend.
You know, the one thing I don't like, Dustin, is it doesn't sound like there's going to be much elevation change. Unless you go off the edge of the...
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Maybe they can go up onto the battleship. You know, you got the... got an Air Force carrier, drive up into the Air Force carrier, down the runway, and then back out again.
Fair enough. But I'm, like Zach, very excited for that weekend. And with it being, you know, celebrating the 250th year of America and of the Navy. So it's for sure going to be a spectacle. And I really believe Ben Kennedy when he says that, you know, this could be one of the best sporting events of 2026.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, we kind of laugh about the elevation change, but, you know, you had a little elevation change in Chicago, but by nature of street courses, it's hard to get elevation change unless you're in Monaco.
That's right. I'm curious to see what the final layout of this course really looks like, because there are neighborhoods on the base. There are main roads on the base. Again, driving on the coast, how much higher or lower are you going to go than sea level?
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily know if you want to hit sea level. But in all seriousness, I am really curious. We haven't seen the full course released yet. Well, that'll Ben Kennedy said that'll come sometime this fall. But it sounds like we're around that 3 mile range. I think the sights, the sounds, everything that's going to be associated with that race weekend is going to be really, really incredible.
Yeah, like the visuals are going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. All right, this week, it's not going to look exactly the same, but Iowa is a beautiful area. Lots of corn is going to be there, and lots of fans going to be on hand, too, for the second time around for the Cup Series, so you know the fans are excited about that. Ryan Blaney won the race there a year ago, and Ford performed pretty well there last year. Can they duplicate that this time around, do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, Blaney had a spectacular performance, led a career at 201 laps last year at Iowa. If you look at it, like, I think this is a true test for Team Penske, because really since Nashville, since Blaney won kind of in dominant fashion in the final stage, not a whole lot going on. They got off strategy at Indy this past week. Joey Logano was honestly could have won the race had it not been for a right rear flat with 20-ish laps to go. But I think this is a true test for them. This is where they excel at, the shorter, flatter ovals. And so we got a lot of them coming up, whether here, Richmond, and obviously they've won the last three championships, part of it because of the stretch to the finish. So I think this will be a true test to see if Penske is at its form entering the playoffs.
Well, to that point, I think of a guy like Josh Berry, who drove the number four car for Stewart Haas Racing last year. Will he be able to do the same thing this year? Probably too early to say, but He could use a turnaround in a big way. He has not finished inside the top 10 since Kansas back in May. He was running inside the top 5 coming to the last restart then at Brickyard 400, but did run out of fuel. So, you know, I look back to what he did a year ago at Iowa. He led 32 laps, finished 7th, qualified 3rd. That was a great weekend for him there. We know he's great on short tracks in general. You talk about this being a test for Team Penske. That Wood Brothers 21 car is a Team Penske affiliate, and I think he might be there's a chance you could say that he's kind of the barometer for how they may go this weekend.
How much are we seeing kind of two different strategies? I don't think is the right word here, Dustin, but I mean, you've got guys, and you talked about maybe the Team Penske guys, and 4 races to go before the playoffs start, people looking to build some momentum, to get some momentum back going towards the postseason, maybe a William Byron looking for something positive to happen for a change. They've had a lot of bad luck the last 6 weeks. And then you've got the guys who are outside the playoff picture that know, you know, a Ryan Preece, for instance, 42 points back, a Kyle Busch, 81 points back. These guys that know that they have no choice but to win a race, that have to basically throw caution to the wind. They're not worried about, you know, stage points or anything else. I mean, there's this contrast of styles or goals during the course of the race that could make it really interesting.
And don't forget, we've got a regular season championship battle that's heating up. We've got 4 guys within 20 points of each other. So a lot going on for sure. Like you mentioned, William Byron just kind of dropped over the last month and a half, really, and Larson too, and he's back on track now with 2 top 5s. But yeah, a lot going on, a lot of races within the race, and a lot to keep up with. So goals aside, I think Iowa, it delivered a pretty good race last year, and a little, you know, we're going back with the new left and right side tire, so really the unknown leading into the weekend. And I guess we'll have to pay attention to practice and qualifying on Saturday.
I do wonder how Hendrick Motorsports fares this weekend as well. We talked about Team Penske, but short tracks, I mean, yes, Kyle Larson at Bristol is a kind of a cheat code, but Martinsville, they've been hit or miss. Richmond has not been a really great track for them. Byron, I think Dustin's great to bring up William Byron here because he's DNF'd 3 in the last 5 races. He was running inside the top 5 again, much like Barry was heading into that last restart Sunday at the Brickyard. And then free falls to 16th place. I will say he did close up the gap to Chase Elliott, though, because Chase did not really have a great weekend. And so now William is only 4 points out of that regular season championship. But there's a lot of mixing and matching of, all right, do we go for the stage points here? Do we go for the track position here? How do we want to play this out? You could say that about Watkins Glen in a couple of weeks too, because we know how road courses are and you can go ahead and pit without sacrificing track position. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what these, how these teams play each of these next 4 races.
I mean, that's the thing, because now if stage points aren't that important to maybe anybody except the guys running for the regular season championship, Dustin, then you may see some guys, you know, maybe short pitting or just, you know, blowing off the stage points to play for the wins.
Particularly Watkins Glen, because you can pit there without losing a lap. And last year too, like if we recall, the highest finishing playoff driver in that race was 6th and Chase Briscoe. And that was because all the other guys just wanted to win. The drivers have differing strategies and some need to win. Some are battling, like we said, for the points, but that could be a race where, you know, a driver below the cut line comes up and sneaks up on you and gets a win.
Could it happen at Iowa this week? Anything like that? Where guys basically start, you know, blow off stage points and go for varied strategies?
It's a good question. You're not going to have guys flipping the stages the same way as you did at Indianapolis or Pocono, just because if you pit, you're going to lose a lap and you're going to trap yourself. You're going to give yourself a disadvantage in that sense. But anything you can do to keep the track position for sure. And, you know, we talk about Josh Berry, we talk about Ryan Preece, guys like that who do excel on the short tracks. I do think there are some of those guys that haven't won yet that can still throw their name in the hat this weekend.
When we come back, white flag laps.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream, they're going to cry, they're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue, and if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And it's time now for our white flag laps. And first up from JSki and NASCAR.com, it's Dustin Albino.
Yeah, I just wanted to hit on a couple of drivers for differing reasons from the weekend. Stuart Friesen, I feel like it's worth mentioning. Sending our well wishes to him. Scary, scary crash Monday night in Quebec in a dirt modified. I grew up going to races that Stuart was a part of in the modifieds. He was racing in my hometown on Saturday. So scary incident. Hoping the best for him. And then on the flip side, Catherine Lake. Pretty remarkable what she's been doing with Live Fast Motorsports, two top 20s in her last three races. The Indy race over the weekend, a legitimate 17th place finish. She was over 7 seconds off in qualifying. So if she had more time in the car, you know, David Pepper said it himself, like we'd have a badass racer on our hands. So shout out to Catherine Lake.
You know, I think that's a great call out because you know, just having being able to keep the car going all day long and stay in it and get track time is, I think, exactly what she's been needing.
And to improve that drastically throughout the course of one race weekend and really from like where she was lap one to lap 20, unbelievable.
Yep, absolutely. And that is next up from NASCAR.com, Zach Sterniolo.
Sunday's Brickyard 400 marked my first time on the hallowed grounds of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and all the luster, all the lore that you hear about that 2.5 mile oval is true. You do feel the ghosts of racers past there. You do feel the history of over 115 years of racing. And you feel the magnitude of simply standing on the famous yard of bricks. Nothing else in racing compares to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and that's why it remains a privilege for NASCAR to race on that oval. It is a track that instantly makes you a legend. Jeff Gordon, Rick Mears, Tony Stewart, Elio Castroneves. And on Sunday, Bubba Wallace added his name to that illustrious list of winners. Sure, he has a long way to go still to deserve hanging around that elite company, right? But Sunday's drive proved that he has matured into a driver who is capable of performing in those big-time moments. And the question now remains, how often can he replicate it?
Yeah, that's a great point. It was interesting, and I mentioned it earlier, hearing Bubba cross the finish line and just start laughing. And it was a release. It was a release. It was a relief. He's been through a lot. He's been criticized a lot. And yet he drove to that win. He took that race and he won that race. He had it won until it started raining. Then he took it and he won two times after that. And he deserved that win. To Zach's point, winning at the Brickyard is special. It puts you up there. You always get referred to from now on as a Brickyard champion. It is life-changing. It is career-changing. and to get to go to kiss those bricks afterwards is a memory you will always have. People forget that's a tradition that NASCAR started. It didn't start with the IndyCar drivers. They do it now, but it started with Dale Jarrett and NASCAR, and a special moment that Bubba Wallace certainly deserves. We'll talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.